I want to read to you the scripture this morning. Really take it to heart. These words are not meant to be interpreted away. They have some powerful meaning. So hear the word of the Lord from Matthew chapter 10, beginning at verse 5a. These 12 Jesus sent out, instructing them, "Brother will deliver brother over to death, and the father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciples to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, say in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven." This is the word of the Lord. May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. What God gives, fearlessness from the scripture you just heard. If you could remove one thing from your life, what would it be? I know in an instant what it would be for me. I would remove fear from my life. Fear. In the classic comedy film Airplane, an elderly lady passenger is sitting next to one of the main characters, Ted Stryker, as the plane's about to take off. "Nervous?" the elderly woman asks. "Yes," Stryker answers. Thinking this might be his first flight, the older lady asks, "First time?" Stryker answers, "No, I've been nervous lots of times." Fear. What's the other names for fear? You can cry out. What's another name for fear? Anxiety. Very good. Worry. Very good. Being terrified, right? Scary. There's lots of names for fear. A whole lot of names. And fear, anxiety, worry, they play on us more than we realize. Most often in a negative way. But there is a positive fear so that we don't do incredibly stupid and dangerous things. You know? So we want our kids to have some fear of the right things. So I want to briefly investigate the nature of fear before I get right into God's Word today. There's no doubt that fear can paralyze us. It disrupts faith, holds us back, keeps us from seeking help. It prevents us from speaking the truth in love or taking the risks we ought to take. Fear does all of that. Fear is simply an internal warning system. It readies us either to flee, to hide, or to fight. Right? That's what fear does. All kinds of fears, aren't there? There's fear of physical harm, fear of rejection, fear of failure, fear of looking foolish, fear of intimacy, fear of being alone, fear of change, fear of desertion, fear of dying. And I probably didn't cover all the fears, maybe the ones that you're dealing with. Phobias. You know, every college student that takes that introductory course in psychology hears that word, phobias. And we all have phobias. All have fears of some sort or another. And if you take one of those psychology courses, you're going to end up thinking, that's me, right? That's what happened to me. I've got some kind of disorder. The truth of the matter is that most fears never materialize. One study among many revealed that 60% of our fears are totally unfounded. 20% are already behind us. 10% are so petty they don't really matter to our life. 4 to 5% of the remaining 10% are real, but we can do nothing about them. And then the remaining 5% are the only ones we can really do anything about. In summary, we might say that the fear of an experience is worse than the fear itself. So now, what did Jesus say about fear in our scripture today? Well, to put it plainly from the Word of God today, some of our fears will come true. Brother will betray brother. People will hate you because of the name of Jesus. There are people who will want to and maybe carried out hurt and kill you. And yes, sparrows do fall from the skies. The Father's love does not protect us from life's tragedies. And yet every time I recite or think of that great Psalm 23, I remember that line, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." So are we going to have to walk there? Most of us, yeah. Most of us will face times when the shadows are on us and bad things have arrived. But what does it say in that psalm? But he'll be with us. His rod and his staff, it's like a shepherd's, you know, he'll comfort us and protect us, strengthen us. Then Jesus tells us who we ought to be afraid of. "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both body and soul in hell." Interestingly noted, Jesus is the one that talks most about hell. So for all those people who want to just eliminate it, they're not following Jesus' word. We must all come before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Some are accepted? No. All of us are going to face the judgment seat of Christ. Everything we've done, said, or thought will be laid bare. Nothing escapes God. We can fool people. We're not going to fool God. He sees it all. He knows it all. God will see to it that each person will receive what they deserve. If not here and now, then in the hereafter. So casual, dismissive ways in how we relate to God make no sense if these words of Christ are taken to heart. We have so much designer religion today. Oh, God's not angry at this, and he doesn't mind if I do that. And yeah, though the Bible says 100 different ways that certain things are wrong, nah, it's not wrong for me. You know, we've learned a new way. No, we haven't. God's word remains. But if we tremble thinking about judgment day and our lives, then what must we do? I couldn't give a better answer than this, so I'm going to quote J.I. Packer in his fabulous book, Knowing God. And he gives this resounding solution to any kind of trembling. He says, "The New Testament answer is call on the coming judge to be your present Savior. As judge, he is the law, but as Savior, he is the gospel. Run from him now, and you will meet him as judge then, and without hope. Seek him now, and you will find him, for he that seeketh findeth. And you will then discover that you are looking forward to that future meeting with joy, knowing that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Isn't that great? Isn't that what we need to hear? There is no condemnation. So you and I can say, guess what? I'm actually looking forward to Judgment Day. It's going to be the day when I am finally, I'm completely, we're redeemed already, but redeemed, a shadow of a doubt. It's going to be a great joy in that day. But to many, it's going to be a surprise and a day of sadness. And that hurts me. For anybody that I know that's going to be surprised by that day, I don't wish them. I don't wish them that. And I'll do all I can to see that it doesn't happen. That's why this baptism was so important. You're going to raise him. I'm so glad he has parents, Liam has parents like he does. And every baptism that people come forward and let them receive that promise of God, that is so good, so good. But there's another important thing Jesus tells us about fear in our scriptures, and that is that we can overcome them. He tells us not to be afraid, more than enough inferring that we can surmount our fears, that we can be fearless. Indeed, it's the most common command in the whole Bible. What's the most common command? Fear not. Fear not. He tells us not to be afraid. Many of you have shared this common experience that a lot of us with children have faced. When I was a young, struggling pastor, not having a whole lot of money, we found a place to vacation at Fort Walton. I'm not going to call these condos because they don't deserve that upper-class name, but it was U-shaped rooms around this great big Olympic-sized swimming pool. They had to walk a long way to the beach. But we found it perfect. And we went there, I don't know how many years, and it was very affordable. That was the good thing. But many of you have faced the same thing, the same kind of dilemma and experience. I would be in the pool, and one of my children would be on the edge, and I'm saying, jump, I'll catch you. Only one out of four of my children did that immediately, and I'll let you guess who that was if you know my family. One of them I had to pull in. Two of them needed more persuading, to jump in. Because when they were at that edge, the battle between fear and trust was on. Trust, and you'll jump. Fear, and you won't. So, some of my children trusted me, and others didn't, at least in the beginning. But I tell you, every adult here, everyone here, we're there. We're right there with our relationship with God. Jump. Cast your life with me. Let me rule your life. Or fear. No, I want my life to be in my hands. We are more than just our fears. That's not who we should be or not who we are. God says jump. God says jump. And we trust him. Note what illustration Jesus used in our scripture for today. Jesus uses this illustration about sparrows to drive home his point that we can indeed not fear, but rather trust our Heavenly Father. Sparrows. Of all the thousands of species of birds, Jesus chooses the most insignificant, the least noticed, the scruffiest of birds. These pint-sized creatures are even ignored by bird watchers. Sparrows are the most common and plentiful birds in the world. They thrive in populated areas because they are scavengers, seeking leftovers. Oh, in rural areas, they are kind of a problem too because they eat seeds. We count any number of bird species, especially endangered species, but nobody counts sparrows except God. If he cares for the lowliest of birds, says Jesus, then you have to know that you are light years more important to God than this little pesky bird. Light years ahead. That's how much more valuable you are to him. And that's what he's saying in this, by using this illustration. I know at times you don't feel that way. You don't feel like you're the most valuable thing to God because things happen to you. I'll get to that in a moment. How many old enough to remember Ethel Waters? A few people, okay, Ethel Waters. She probably made famous the gospel hymn, song, and I want to read you the most famous lyric of it. I would sing it to you, but I'm not Pastor Will with that amazing voice. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Okay, pretty poor, but the line is really good, isn't it? If he's watching the sparrow, he's watching us. We're reminded of this over and over again in the Scriptures. Trust God, acknowledge him, and everything glorify your Savior Jesus Christ. And remember, he will make everything turn out well for you in the end. Because even in this life, we can trust him. We will see that he is adequate, he is loving, he'll watch over you to provide for you. If you believe that Jesus went to the cross and atoned for your sins, you cannot believe that God is using adverse circumstances to punish you. You cannot believe that he's using these adverse circumstances. This is kind of the point of the book of Job. It wasn't punishing Job. Everything God does for the believer is done to bring him closer to himself and make us more trusting and stronger in the faith. Think about that. Every adverse circumstance that you had, things you didn't want in your life, God used that to bring you closer to him, to trust him. I won't have enough money. God provides. I'll never get married. God will provide you a spouse. Or maybe a relationship with him will be enough. I can't witness to anyone. Spirit will give you the words to speak. I have cancer. Yes, God will use that to make you trust him even more. I'm afraid of dying. The New Testament writers, inspired by the Spirit, tell us that for followers of Christ, dying is going to be like falling asleep. Maybe you've heard the prayer of St. Teresa, maybe not. Let naught trouble thee, let naught frighten thee, all things pass. God alone changeth not. Patience can do all things. Whoever has God has everything. God alone sufficeth. That's not a word we hear very often, suffices, but God suffices. It means he's adequate. And that is the gift of fearlessness. All things are in his hand. God meets our needs. I have one last, and I think it's the most powerful thought. Imagine your life without fear. Imagine what it would be like not to be afraid of anything anymore. Imagine not worrying about anything. I know this seems impossible. It's the kind of life that Jesus would like you to have. And imagine the freedom and the power of it. Oh yeah, I face this. I'm not worrying. I trust God. Whoa! Can you even imagine it? Imagine going through a single day and you do not have one worry or one fear. Imagine what people would think all around you, what you're able to be like. If Jesus is in the boat with you, you don't have to panic when the storm arises. Because Jesus is the only one who can say, "Be still," and it will be still. It is having Jesus. Well, how do we have this fearlessness? It's having Jesus in your life 24/7. His presence brings peace and strength, because in Him and in Him alone we can have the assurance that all things work together for good to those who love Him. No earthly situation has no power to put yourself out of Jesus' care. Satan can't do it. Not if you trust Him. Worship Him. Pray to Him. Pray to Him. Simple things. Think about Jesus. Study His Word. Let His name be on your lips, in your consciousness, especially when you're facing things that make you afraid. And see if what happened to those first disciples can happen to you, because they lost their fears. Not all of them, not 100%, but most of them. And they were doing incredible things because they knew that they were in the hands of God every minute. Envision your life where you more often than not trust than fear. I'm on that journey. I want you to join me in that journey. I'm in that journey to not fear and not worry. You know, every time you worry about something, let it be an automatic switch that goes on. I need to pray about this. I need to think about what you just heard this morning. God is for you. He's with you. He loves you. He'll uphold you. And nothing in this world can separate you from the love of Christ. In Jesus' name and to His glory. Amen? Amen. Amen.